You know what I love? You know what I really just love? Is that feeling of feeling completely and utterly supported. When I feel like people are behind me, when I feel like people believe in me, and when people are in a place where they cheer me on to do my best. But what happens to us when the world becomes a world of performers without any sense of audience or fans? Today's podcast is on the importance of being a fan. Today we will talk about, are we self-obsessed? Second, we'll talk about what is a mark and is it cool to be one? Lastly, we'll get into what would the world look like with more fans? Welcome back to the podcast. So as of this writing, the goal was to record two podcasts today, so we'll need to see how that goes. But I recorded the DACA podcast, which has already been out, and I had some technical issues, so I had to re-record that one. And I also found that I needed to re-record this one as well, because excitingly enough, in my attempts to be a better podcaster and make life easier on my producer, I only made it way harder. I recorded it in Logic Pro X, and I left the metronome on, which means all that work was useless, both for Sarah and myself. You live, you learn, I guess, right? So, as far as the podcast, nothing exciting has happened recently. There was no giant download spike in the last couple of days, but I also have not been in a space where I've been able to promote the podcast as much as I would like. So we're kind of sticking with the plan. We're going to try to get in some more of the one-hit topics in for the next couple weeks, but we are now over 8 months into the Inclusive Activism Podcast project, and I'm curious to see how things are going. I'm wondering how things are being received, how you're feeling about stuff, so I'm really curious as to what your experience is like. So if you would like to, or more so understand, I would really like to hear from you. You can leave me a voicemail at 860-576-9393. Again, you can call the Inclusive Activism Hotline at 860-576-9393, or you can email me at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. That's inclusiveactivism at cox.net. I got my first email a few weeks ago, so I was excited by that. But give me a call, drop me a line, let me know what you're thinking, tell me your thoughts. Also, please remember to rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, share the podcast in any space or place that you can manage to do that on social media. This will go a long, long way to make a huge difference in making sure that this is worth the time invested in the project. So the goal was to do this and to have it happen and put it in at least for a year to see how the progress goes, what kind of difference that makes in my life and in the life of others. But I definitely need those rates and reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you're listening to this, and especially if you're listening on this on Apple Podcasts, slow down, hit pause for me, go over to the rate and review section and leave a rating. I don't care if it's a one-star rating at this point. I'd really like to just see a rating specifically that wasn't someone I know within my own social circle. That would make a big, big difference for me. Also, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play. These are always great ways for me to show proof of potential work to sponsors, and we'd go a long, long way to make sure that my producer, Sarah, is paid for her work someday. So, checking in on my activism in the last couple of weeks, I have been very busy in the last couple of weeks. So, since I've podcasted, I have gone and done the service at Halloween, which I think y'all know about. But the things I have done since is I had another Valley Leadership date that I had to be a part of and was expected to be there for. I was at a non-traditional student barbecue that one of my student leaders put on, so that was a really neat thing to be a part of, because we have a lot of returning adult students at Paradise Valley Community College, so I like to see the fact that those folks get recognized and are feeling like they're a part of what we do. I was also at a healing racism event, and it was about white women teaching black men, which was really interesting and fascinating. I was also at I put on my own civil conversation series, which was really trying to use nonviolent communication to understand the needs of other folks and where they're coming from when they have opinions that are greatly different from our own. So that was neat. It was neat because Michelle got to bring her class there. I had a few folks from Scottsdale Community College come by and take part in it. So I was really happy to be part of that experience. And then last week on Thursday, I got to be at an evening with Jane Elliott. Jane Elliott's the brown eyes, blue eyes lady. And she came and spoke as part of Project Humanities, which was really neat. I was really excited to be part of that. And I was excited to see that there was the opportunity to kind of talk and share and listen to her. You can totally see the teacher in that old lady. She is a whip. It's really funny. So as far as self-care, I had a pretty good week last week. I didn't get in 5 total lifts last week. I only got in 4. It's a little bit hard when you don't have Veterans Day. The gym was closed, and that does put a bit of a damper into the plans with that. I only also got about 1 time of cardio done this week, but it was really nice because I got to hike Camelback Mountain. And it's been a long, long time since I've done that, but sadly, there was no focus on cardio outside of that either. I meditated 2 times last week, so that was 1 short of my goal. And I'm also feeling like that's not going great, but I also spoke with my partner, and she's saying that she feels that it's making a significant difference for me and her interactions with me. So sometimes you got to do stuff, and you need to know that you won't always get those immediate results, and maybe other people are seeing those results in the same way you're not. Also, in the last couple days, I had a 4-day weekend, which was really nice. So I got a decent amount of sleeping in done. We went to Mexico to buy some antibiotics for the dogs in case they need them. And so it's been a busy week. Next week will be a completely full week. But after that, things will slow down a little bit. We're going to try to take the opportunity to enjoy Thanksgiving with our families and are looking forward to that as well. And with that, on to the podcast for today. On fandom and how that fandom need is slowly disintegrating as we're turning into a culture of performers where no one's really paying any attention and nobody's really watching. So the first thing is why I feel like there's a scarcity of fandom. So I think it's a bit cultural right now as far as why there is a depression in fandom specifically, but I think it's in part because of parents are sort of getting a sense of their own identity as being parents. So when I say there's a focus on identity as being parents, I feel as though parents are finding and being parents first and foremost, rather than being themselves first and foremost. And in being these do-it-all, being these parents that are the space of all, you know, that's a big part of their identity specifically. It's creating this hyper-focus on children and a hyper focus on that child's development. And this has led to a culture of achievement where it has kind of created some children that are very, very self-interested. And they're really getting that model from their parents. Parents blog or share the experience of being a parent, and they measure themselves on their successes of the achievements of the child. So more and more and more, you're seeing parents that are sharing wonderful things that their children are doing, and that is bolstering their own identity as parents because the fact that their child's doing well means that they are a good parent. But what secretly happens is they really don't talk about their child's deficiencies or even their own deficiencies as parents specifically. That becomes a bit of a problematic situation or scenario because of the fact that since parents won't share the difficulties that they're having, nobody else knows that the difficulties that they're having. They only share the best of things rather than sharing the reality of things. And that's just like social media in a nutshell, which moves me on to social media. I also feel that social media rewards me-centered self-sharing. With Instagram's hearts, with Facebook lights, with silly metrics like snap streaks. And on a side rant, I really don't get snap streaks specifically. It's just like a tracking of days in which you've texted a person or shared a picture on Snapchat specifically, What does that mean? Does that mean you have like a deep connection, or that you're willing to take a second to make sure that you're pinging back and forth with this person? And I think what's interesting too is because everybody sees how much you share these snap streaks, it's a public performance of friendship to prove the friendship's worthwhile, which really blows my mind. Is this like public evidence of the depth of a friendship? I really don't understand it myself. So getting back on topic, I see these things as combining to create a major part of what I like to call a look good culture. The focus on looking like you have it all together. It's just looking like you have it all together, or looking like you're incredibly successful, or looking like you're going to the coolest places in the world, or looking like you're eating the best meals ever. The focus is not on being good or being a whole person. It's on looking like you are a good and whole person specifically. The focus is not on serving others. It is mostly on looking like you're popular, knowledgeable, or successful. There is no value placed on the true deep evidence of someone being a good person. There's no true evidence on these things of being knowledgeable, of being successful. There's not a need to know that that person is that thing. They just need to look like that thing. A tweet doesn't tell you about the pain of overcoming addiction or the difficulty of slowly moving out of a codependent relationship. There's no way you can tweet about that thing. Just like a before or after photo of someone losing a ton of weight with a crash diet with crazy cardio doesn't show if there's actual evidence of this person doing a lifelong change that will create that transformation Tuesday thing into a permanent part of that person's life. Yes, it does take a lot of courage and stamina and commitment to crash diet your way into losing 30 pounds, but it's a lot harder, but it's also a lot better to lose that 30 pounds over the course of 6 months and create a sense of lasting change that is sustainable, that's something that you can do and commit to over time. And even 6 months, I would say maybe 30 pounds in a year is something that you could probably do and then live with because of the fact that you are committing to a new form of life, not just looking differently. So additionally, it's also not cool to just like things these days. It seems like everyone is just really tragically hip or too cool to get really, really excited about anything. Or maybe it's a feeling of everything is just too passé and we live in a world that isn't worth getting excited about. That idea or notion is really frightening to me. Like, nothing in the world is cool enough to get just pumped about? But you have to remember, I grew up in the 80s. And in the 80s, we loved getting excited about our fandom. We would be just bananas over the top about stuff, and it was an honor to be considered the biggest fan. To look like a fan, to be seen as the number one fan was like a badge of honor. It was something we were excited about, and we loved the idea of being biggest fan. Here, now, it seems like being a fan of something makes you look like a simpleton or stupid. And I think people are worried about getting called out for liking something in our hypercritical culture, because really, what's a good thing to like that you won't get in trouble for liking? It causes a lot of problematics in a lot of different ways. So moving on to our second major point, what is it like to be a fan? A fan that isn't worried about being judged or scrutinized about their fandom. Well, I can give you a personal example that it is way more fun to be a fan than it currently is now. It used to be a blast. So when I was younger, I'm going to out myself a little bit here, I was raised in poor and frankly redneck circles in Texas. And there was a certain pride that came with being a working class person. And it's something that I think very few people know about or genuinely understand, is this sense of working class pride where you put in a fool's day, you get paid, but then you get to go home at the end of the day. You don't overwork yourself, you don't kill yourself. You came to work, you busted your ass, and you got home at a decent hour. You were not rich, and you knew you were never going to be rich. But at that time in the early 80s, being lower middle class, which is a social class that I don't know that really even exists now, was something that you could take some pride in being. You had some money, you were able to pay the rent and do some nice little things. International travel was without from not within your grasp necessarily, but you could go out of state. You could take a couple days off here and there. It was a possibility. So when I was a child, one of the things that we did to escape the doldrums of being a redneck working lower middle class was we would watch professional wrestling. So being a child, I got exposed to this really odd subculture of professional wrestling. And back in the day, things were done kayfabe. Kayfabe means that the work was presented as though it was real. The fights were real. The grudges were real. And wrestling was not at all considered fake. It was not considered a work. So this idea of kayfabe, it was a term used for keeping the behind-the-scenes parts of wrestling a secret. And those who got swept up in the drama of the story created in pro wrestling were referred to as marks. So kayfabe would try to get a reaction out of their marks. So a bad guy was looking to get booed by the mark, right? Or the good guy would look at trying to really get the people that were marks for them fired up and excited about the match that was happening or the grudge that was getting settled. So a mark is a fan who believes in the characters and in the events of pro wrestling. They were seen at the time as a fan who idolizes the wrestler, the promotion, or style of wrestling to a point that others would maybe even consider excessive. The point is, though, is not that it was excessive, it's the fact that folks were invested in what was happening. Shoot, I was invested in what was happening. I remember my grandpa was so invested in what was happening, my grandma would yell at him because she was worried that he'd have a heart attack because he'd get so excited about what was going on those Sunday mornings in professional wrestling. Now, there's a new term, right? And it's called the SMARC, and it stands for the Smart Mark. These folks know all about everything that's happening behind the scenes, but are still fans. However, they derive joy from the critique of the show. They like to think about who should win, who should lose, who should get promoted, who doesn't get promoted, as well as how the production should evolve. And this is kind of, I use this as an example of this idea that I'm trying to expose you to called the meta fan. You are aware of more than one level of something working, and you're trying to enjoy it on many different levels, but you do it with a sense of being really self-aware. But this meta-ness means that you're always aware of your own outward sense of displayed joy. You can't appear to like something that is outside of your own stated joys or your own stated loves. This sense of meta-analysis means it is very, very hard to lose yourself in an experience. And since we are all very aware of our own sense of being seen, we all self-monitor our sense of our public selves, and we manage our fandom to be seen in the way we would like to be portrayed. Do you see how this relates to what I was talking about before when I'm saying we're worried more about how we look all of the time rather than our own sense of being good? Instead of having our primary concern on about appreciating the things that we like, or appreciating the people that we really value, or appreciating what brings us life, we get worried more so about what other people will think about us liking this thing, or appreciating this person, or being in this space, right? I could easily worry what you would think about me as an inclusive activist, and that I still sort of like pro wrestling. And it's not the most inclusive thing in the world. So let me point out, right, in this hypercritical culture, we can get criticized for liking many different things. I just mentioned about being an inclusive activist, and what does that mean about what I can like and what I not like, right? Can I like professional wrestling? Can I like NFL? Or even MMA? I mean, I don't even watch MMA that much because it's made me worried about what happens to those folks. With the NFL, man, it's been rough recently. They won't even let maybe people sit or stand for Black Lives Matter stuff or to create more information about police brutality. That stuff becomes really, really problematic if you're worried about what your outward sense of self should look like or will be judged like. But I can like these things and still advocate for better ways or better practices within the realms specifically. So rather than just pledging blind faithful allegiance, I can critique, I can still like, but I can hope for better. I can be part of the group and push the group to get better, rather than hoping it would be perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. So on a slightly different note, we need to imagine what a world without fans would look like. None of your favorite movies, none of your favorite TV shows, no websites whatsoever, no comedians, no podcasts, no blogs, no entertainment, period. What a dull and dreary world. So lastly, I feel like we need to put a lot more fun, and we need a lot more fun in our fandom specifically. We need more fans in this world. In a hypercritical space, in a space where we are all overly observed, we tend to self-inhibit ourselves in a way that keeps us from fully diving into and enjoying things that we love or appreciate the most. For example, I love teaching about leadership. I love showing about how we can create new thinkings about diversity and inclusion. I love playing flag football. My team won the championship without me the other weekend, and it's been the first time in a really long time, and I was really proud to even be a part of that, even though I wasn't standing there in that moment. And in the spaces where I grow and strive and thrive the best are the places where I have fans. And it's got me thinking about fandom a bit. And this is kind of one of the reasons and spaces why. So I have a friend on my flag football team, and his name is Timo. So Timo is this huge Samoan guy that is just unbelievably strong that plays on our flag football team. Now, he easily could be scary or a very, very intimidating man were this not for his near constant smile on his face. He is strong as I've seen a person be and could easily block me with one arm if I were to pass rush against him. However, when I am playing on defense and he is resting on the sidelines, I always hear Timo cheering me on. I think this might be because I'm older than him and that we're both tribal people and I was the person that invited him to play on the team. So maybe he does so out of sense of a cultural respect or the fact that I invited him to play on the team. But either way, understand, I see Timo as way more skilled than me as a football player in many, many ways. But Saturday morning in and Saturday morning out, I always hear the big man saying, "Come on, Rowdy, go get him, Rowdy," which is so cool, because how often do you hear grown men or do you hear peers cheering for each other? See, Timo reminds me to cheer more often. Jason is my workout partner, and we lift at least 3 or 4 times a week, and there are times where we're lifting together and I feel like I'm done, when I think there's nothing left, and he'll say, "Nope, one more and I'm like, "I don't know, man, I don't know about that one more." But he has this determined confidence in me that one more is possible. And while I'm sitting there, while I'm in pain, while I'm doubting if I have anything left, he has the confidence to pull that one more out of me. Now understand, when you work out for the last rep. You work out for the last flex. You work out for the last set. The thing that makes you grow is the very last thing. And the more of the very last thing you can do, the more you grow. If I fail when he thinks I have another one, he is actually more proud at my attempt to try. And I know he will keep me safe. But he gets excited and pumped up just at my visual effort and at his attempts to constantly get more out of me. So there's a time where I utterly failed to squat. And I had to like place the squat thing on the bars. And it's funny because like in my moment of failure, he was right there saying, "Yeah, man, yeah, that's perfect. You did exactly what you needed to do. There was nothing left. We pushed ourselves to nothing left." Do you see how that's just different, right? He cheered on my failure, but in cheering failure, he knew that I gave everything that I had. That's cool. Jason also plays flag football with me too. And I really, really appreciate the fact that he's always out there cheering. He's cheering on me. He's cheering on the rest of the team. There's times where I feel like my team will be low energy and we'll just kind of like cheer and pull that stuff out of each other. Now, there's another guy who works at Fry's. It's a Fry's as a grocery store in the Arizona area. And every time he sees me, he's like, "Hey, man, hey, it's the professor." And it's funny because he always sees and thinks of me as a professor. But I'm not. I'm working student life and leadership. But he sees the best in me. And I always see the best in him because he's so excited to see me. And he always tells me how he's hoping to go back to school again. Right? Because he wants the best for myself. He wants the best in me. He wants the best in others. With these men and in their fandom, it reminds me of the fact that I need to be that same fan of others. And with brutal honesty, I can tell you I'm honestly just not the best at this. I do great in certain situations, in certain circumstances. I'm really great when I'm doing a diversity and inclusion training, or when I'm on the Emerging Leaders Retreat, or when I'm at Anytown. But really, if I want to be honest, like day in, day out, I'm not even just okay at my words of affirmation. I'm not even just okay with my fandom and cheering on the people that I am blessed to spend time with. You see, I need to be a fan. As my friend Jason said when we were out to dinner, notice the amazing service you get. But not just the service you get. Like when someone's serving you and you're out at dinner, notice the amazing work that the server is doing for other people. Praise them on their thoughtful diligence. Talk about how much you notice they're busting their ass. Notice their thoughtful diligence, not just for you, but for everybody else, and point it out next time you're out to eat. When you're going to the store, cheer on the checkout clerk. Let them know you appreciate how hard they're working to get you and everybody else through that line at the end of a hard day. Cheer on those out in the world who are protesting to try to make the world a better tomorrow. No one protests out of their own sense of self-glorification. It's not a glory-filled job. Most people who protest are hoping to make the world a better place. Now, there's varying degrees of potential right or wrong with that, but for the most part, when someone's out there protesting, they really are hoping for a better tomorrow. What I want you to do and what I need to do too is to be a fan, man. Be a fan of people who are working their ass off day in and day out to make the world a better place. Be an unabashed mark for them. Love and adore their work and appreciate that effort that they're putting in and let them know. One of my peer mentors tells me over and over and over every time I see her, "I appreciate you." And what does that do for me? But notice what it does for others when you appreciate them. And please know, I'm right here in my office, talking to myself again, with my dog hanging out with me. And that you, here, dear listener, little fan of mine, I could never do this without you. Every single day, I wonder if this podcast is worth it. Every day, I think, is this the best use of my time on my day off? But you are here with me right now. And in the fact that you're listening to me, that you're hopefully getting inspired by something, you mean that right now, in this moment, in you hearing me, that it's worth it. You probably, if we look at statistics, are the only person hearing me right now and what I'm saying. And I am talking to you, my dear friend, my fan. I want to thank you very, very much for being a listener. I want to thank you very, very much for being a subscriber. And I want to thank you very, very much for being a fan, because I have no idea what I'm doing with this podcast, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know where I want it to end up. I don't know what success looks like or not. I just thought that there might be a chance in explaining these things and ideas to you that I might be a better person, and if I really was lucky, if I was really blessed beyond blessed, I could maybe make you a better person too. And it's in that hearing each other, in that voicemail opportunity to have a dialogue together, I was hoping we have the opportunity to do something to change the world and make it a better place. So, listener, thank you. Because I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to make a difference. And the fact that you're willing to hear me means the world to me. Thank you. So in review, the major points of this podcast were, today we took a very, very close look at the give me feedback culture with Facebook, with Twitter, with Instagram, with Snapchat. We noticed how this hyper-focused on children has made us a bit self-focused on ourselves as well as our children when it comes to attention. Second, in a world without adoring fans, without people who are willing to just mark out for things and to care and to cheer, that the world would just be, frankly, a really boring place. And three, we need to be better raving fans for things and people and everything around us. We need to cheer on, we need to support both the people in our lives as well as the people we don't know. Because everybody appreciates those appreciations. So, if this podcast made you think of something, if you're noticing you're a fan and you want to give me a call finally after all, I would really, really appreciate that. The voicemail line again is 860-576-9393. Again, in case you need to write it down or type it in, it's 860-576-9393. Or you can email me at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. This is your place to make this something dynamic. This is where we talk back and forth. This is where the time really becomes worth it, because I don't want you to just listen to me. I want to talk with you. I want to find a way to do this better. I want to create this as a dynamic, amazing space of dialogue and discovery, and I need your help with that stuff. So please give me a call, email me, just let me know how things are going. Let me know what you're thinking and feeling. And as always, if you're interested in booking me and bringing the power of inclusive activism to your organization, you can always do that as inclusiveactivism@cox.net, or you can learn more about me and this organization at www.inclusiveactivism.com. Thank you very much, friend. Thank you very much, fan. I really appreciate all your time. And until next time, have a great day. We'll be right back.